It is a blessing to be here today, and to be here on Mother's Day is a little different because I'm not bringing a Mother's Day message. I'm going to bring a message that is the first step in not just missions, but in church work in itself. If you're going to be involved in the ministry, you have to start to think about being the answer to somebody else's prayer. You're going to have to start thinking about how can I be used of God to make a difference. Church has lost a little bit of its shine because church has moved in modern days in a lot of places all about the big show on Sunday. But church is not just being here on Sunday. Church is being in each other's lives, loving one another, finding out the needs and the prayers and the hopes and the sorrows of those around you, and learning how to encourage and to be a part of that fellowship. That's when church really is working well. When I first started in the ministry, which my boss is here today, my original boss, Marcus, he took a risk on me. I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew I was called to preach. God opened up the door for me to go up and be a youth pastor, but I learned something there. I learned something very important, that our Monday night fellowship was more important than our Sunday morning meetings, because people learned to love one another. They learned to care. They learned to find out what people really need. And the more you fellowship with one another, the more you're going to get to know one another. The more you know one another, the more you'll put yourself out for them. And they will do the same for you. Today I'm going to start with the very basics of Christianity. Being the answer to somebody else's prayer started when I was first called to preach. I'm the first Christian in my family. I have two sisters, three brothers, my mom and dad, and I was the first one to come to Jesus. I had a burden for them to know Jesus, and I began to witness. My sisters were more open, and I eventually got to lead one of my sisters to the Lord, and I got to see my other sister come to Christ. And but my brothers, they were very difficult. Very. I don't know. How many of you have a younger brother here? How many of you guys like to take advice from your younger brother? Very few. And I was the youngest of my family. So I started out in a bad spot, you know, and trying to convince my brothers that Christ is not only died for their sins, was buried and rose again, but that he was real. And one day I was at my brother Frank's house, and I was, put it this way, I was more excited or more forceful than gracious. And I was talking to him. I was giving the gospel for the, 100th time or more. And finally, I was in frustration. I just said, "Look, Frank, it boils down to this. You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you die and go to hell." It wasn't but a few seconds later that I was on the outside of the house looking in, because he kicked me out. And we didn't talk for a while. And during that time, I started praying. Joy and I, we began to pray. Say, "God, send somebody that they will listen to." I started to realize I wasn't going to be the one to lead them to the Lord. And so I started praying. During that time of praying, God challenged me. He says, and not audibly, I didn't have a light come down upon me, and I was in my prayer time, studying time, and I felt, "Well, you want somebody to be the answer to your prayer. What are you willing to do to be the answer to somebody else's? What are you willing to do? And so I began at that moment looking for opportunities to be the answer to somebody else's prayer. I realized that I can't win my brothers. They don't want to hear from me. But you know what? The neighbor down the street, they might want to hear from me. The other people might want to hear from me. I might have the ability to speak to some people around me and have influence with the gospel that I never had with my brothers. And so I began to take on the attitude of I'm going to be the answer to somebody else's prayer. When that happened to me, that's when Acts chapter 10 came to life to me. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 10, if you will. Acts chapter 10 is Cornelius. He was a Roman soldier, a centurion. He had people that worked for him. He had servants. And he was a Roman soldier that was also a good man. I started thinking about this Roman soldier being a good man. And I started thinking, well, my brothers are like that. They're not out killing people. They're not, you know, murderers. They're not rapists. They're not, you know. They're hard workers. Love their family. Provides for them. That's how Cornelius was. He wasn't a bad guy. He was actually a pretty good guy. But he was missing something. And so let's look, if you will, to Acts chapter 10, verse 1. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he had looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, of whom they that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto him, he sent them to Joppa. I want you to see that God is always preparing people to receive the gospel. God is working on people. You believe that? When God first called me to Russia, Joy and I began to pray, God, prepare the people to receive the message. It took us 3.5 years to get there. But we were asking God to go ahead and prepare the ground. Well, guess what? God's preparing people right here in town. God's preparing people in... I noticed you guys have church planting ministries all down the East Coast. That you support. God's working in those areas. He's drawing people. He's opening up their hearts. He's taking time to introduce and to draw. That's what God does, right? No man can come unto the Father unless the Father draw him. He's opening up hearts. He's beginning to make people ask questions. He's beginning to have them with some doubt. In what they're doing. They're starting to question their own existence and why they're here. You know, those aren't accidental thoughts. It's the work of God. And so he is preparing Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman soldier. He could care. I mean, in reality, most Roman soldiers cared less about the Jewish culture and the Jewish customs and the things that he... But he was searching. Well, I started thinking about my brothers again. They're good people. doing good stuff, but missing something. You know, good people go to hell, right? Because good people without Christ have no hope. Well, God was moving in Cornelius to see something new. At one point, I believe that Cornelius was chasing the Roman dream, just like my brothers were chasing the American dream. They wanted a good life. They wanted good for their family, good for their kids. Not only was he respected in his field, but he was also a devout man. What does devout mean? Reverent, respectful, or religious? So he had a desire to know God, and he was putting forth some effort. Acts 10:2 said, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, giving much alms to the people and prayed to God always. So he feared God. He gave to help people. He took time to pray. He even fasted. We're going to see that. He was fasting on that day when the angel showed up. Now, I hate to ask this, but you, not only religious people, but Jesus Christ, Christian, born-again believers, how often do you fast? This non-Christian was fasting. And he was trying hard to find God. You ever meet those people that are just doing everything they can to see if the scales of justice will be on their favor at the end of life? They want to do good. They're doing good. They're trying hard. They're trying to impress God. You know what? They've come from the church of Cain. You know, Cain and Abel, that's two religions. That's the only two religions ever. One of works, one of faith. Abel represented faith, Cain represented works. You know, Cain probably showed up with the best vegetables he could possibly bring. He wanted to impress God. He wanted to show God, there's a reason that I'm doing it this way. I'm going to give you the best. But what did God say to Cain? I reject your sacrifice. It's not provable. But Cain was the leader of this religion of my works, my good will outweigh my bad. I can, justice will help me in the time that, you know, and when it comes down to it, the things that I've done, well, you know what one sin is equal to? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is what? Death. You say, well, I'm not a bad person. I don't kill anybody. You know what Revelation 21:8 says? But the whoremongers and adulterers and idolaters. And then he says this word, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I can probably guarantee that 90% of you, I got some questions on some of you. No, just kidding. Have never killed anybody. But how many of you have ever times you got to lie to be a liar? Just once, right? So if you can raise your hand and say you've never lied, I will call you a liar right out front. But he says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We're all guilty. And you know, no matter what you put on the scale of the good side, you still have that. And there's no way of getting that off the scale. You can't sponge it away. It's there forever. The only thing that can take that sin away is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why it all came to pass the way it did. It wasn't because there was many ways to God and God just decided to torture his own son, pour out the wrath of the world, his wrath upon his son, paid for the sins of all mankind, just for the fun of it. No, it's because there's only one way, right? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No other way. It's it. One. And so no matter how good Cornelius was, no matter how religious Cornelius was, he's missing something. God uses prayers and circumstances to wake people up. Acts 10:30, it says, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. Remember, I talked about fasting. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothes and said, Cornelius, thy prayers is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. I want you to know something. I talked about it this morning in Sunday school, if you missed it. But God works in the prayers of people. Even the unsaved people. This guy wasn't praying just for God to give me a Cadillac. God, give me a nice house. God, help me. Why do I know that? Well, because he was putting money to his actions. He was giving money away. He was helping out. He was doing things for the poor. He wasn't trying to heap more good blessings upon me. By the way, if you're praying for a Cadillac, probably stop, because I've been praying for one for years, and I've never got one. Well, actually, not true. I had one, but it was so old. It was a well-used Cadillac, and it didn't last long. But what I'm trying to say is, even God hears the drawing. I can tell you story after story of mission stories where an unsaved man in a tribe in the middle of nowhere began to look to the God that created the world and began to pray that somebody would bring the message. And God burdened the heart of a missionary to go to that tribe. It's happened over and over again. God wants to reach the lost. You realize that if the lost die and go to hell without a witness, according to Ezekiel 33, we're in trouble. Now, if they hear the witness and they reject it, they're in trouble. But God's saying that we have a part in this. You ever think about the craziest thing in the world? I don't want to run a rabbit here, but I'm going to just a second. Do you understand the craziest thing in the world? The most important message that mankind could ever hear. God chose fallible men and women to carry it. And he trusts us to actually share it. You ever think about that? Would you trust yourself with the most important message in the world to share with everybody? I wouldn't trust me. Isn't that amazing? That he believes in us that way? Sometimes, you know, that was my one thought for year 2005, you know, I only get one thought a year, so, you know, I have to hold on to them and keep sharing them. But that was amazing to see God do that. God works in the prayers of others. Cornelius was praying. Others start seeking God in similar ways. You start using spiritual eyes to see, and you'll start seeing what God is doing around you. You'll start seeing, I call it the good list. I was a pastor for 11 years. One of my favorite things to do is not reveal that I'm a pastor when I go talk to somebody. Just like go to the gas station or a place where they're working on cars, or, you know, a mechanic shop, or go to a cabinet place. And I'm just talking to them and let them hang themselves. They'll use all the language in the world. They'll talk, and they'll tell you all, and then finally one will say, well, what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor over at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And you watch them trying to pull back all the things they've said. It's too late. Guilty. I don't have to start with, you know, you're a sinner. I didn't have to start there. They already know that. They're pulling it back. My brothers were like that for a while, but then my brothers switched on me and started giving me what I call the good list. And this is after people know I'm a pastor. Then they start saying, telling me all the things they're doing good. Like, oh, we did this for so-and-so. We had this big ride last week, because they all were motorcycle riders. We did this big ride, and they donated, you know, everybody that, I guess it's like a walk-a-thon, but instead you get sponsors to go ride a bike. You know, I don't know what the struggle is. You're just riding on a bicycle or on a motorcycle down the road. But they make money. Just picking if you do that. That's a great, great thing to do. But anyways, they give to charitable things. And my brother was giving me all these charitable things. And I said, I know what you're doing. They're justifying themselves to prove that they're good people. But I never doubted that they were good people. I just knew they were lost people. Which is a difference. Good people can be lost people. So as they began to give me the good stuff, I began to pray even more. Joy and I were praying hard. And I came across this statement by St. Augustine. It says, pray as though everything depends upon God, and work as though everything depends upon you. I thought about that over and over and over again, and I want to make a little change to that. Pray for everything is dependent upon God. And work because God may use you to accomplish His will. That's what we do it for. Everything's not dependent upon me. It really isn't. But I want to see God's will done. So I'm working. And I know everything depends upon God, so I'm praying. Well, so you've seen the other side. You saw, okay, God's working with these, working on Cornelius, opening up his heart, opening up his mind. But you know what? To be the answer to somebody else's prayer, God has to work on you. God has to prepare you to do that. Here we see Peter. He's on top of the house in Joppa. Look at verse 9. It says, and on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry. Most of you guys are right now, okay? And would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at all the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now I just lost half the men that go deer hunting. They're out there now. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Thus was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again unto heaven. God began to prepare Peter to bring the gospel to Cornelius' house. You know what? And I've already covered this. God's chosen us. I was praying for God to reach my brothers, but while I was actively working on reaching someone else's brothers. Are you prepared to be the tool? Is that my yapper? Okay. Are you prepared to be the tool that answers somebody else's prayer? For Peter to be willing to go to Cornelius' house. You realize what God had to do for Peter? It was almost a sin. It was uncommon practice for a Jew to go into a Gentile's home. So Peter has to get over that. Plus, Roman soldiers aren't really nice. to Jews. You understand that? They persecute them. They have a right to say, carry my bag a mile, and you have to carry it a mile. They got a right to go up and say, give me your coat, and they got to give them their coat. I mean, these guys are mean. They crucified Christ. And now Peter's being told, this is the same Peter, remember, that denied three times? I don't know that guy. Who? No, not me. I don't know him. Peter now is asked to go to a Roman soldier's home. A soldier's home, not just a Roman citizen. A soldier's home. And give them the message of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I get nervous still today when I go to witness. I don't know. I played football for years, and I still get, it's just like getting ready for a game. You get a little butterflies in your stomach. Your palms start to sweat. You know what you're going for. Well, Peter knew what he was going for, and he had to deal with some issues in his own life, prejudice stuff, to get by, past his own himself. You know what? For you to witness to somebody else, you're going to have to get over some things. You're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to realize that I'm going to have to get uncomfortable. It's not a comfortable thing to share the gospel. It's the greatest thing you ever do. I've told my wife, I don't know, a thousand times, that even better than our wedding day was the day I got to lead someone to Christ. You know why? Because they were destined for hell. And now they're going to heaven, eternally forgiven in the hand of God. You can't experience that and not be changed. That God allowed you to be present at the birth of a new soul. If you've never been a part of that, woo! You're missing out. It's better than your team winning the Super Bowl. It is better than child coming into this world. It is the greatest moment of my life. And ever since then, I've been wanting to see it again and again and again. God changes people, and you get to be there. But to get over that, to get through that, to get to that point, you're going to have to get over some things. Well, Peter had to get over some things. I was praying for God to reach my brothers, but I was I already said that. So, when we get to this place, I know we're running out of time, so I'm going to move a little faster. But he had to break tradition. He had to break prejudices. But when it was all said and done, Peter took the opportunity. This is the key. You can be all prepared. You can have went through training. You could do the ABCs of salvation, the Romans Road, the Come Let Us Reason Together, or EE Evangelism Explosion. You can know all the ways to lead someone to the Lord. But then eventually you got to do it. Well, Cornelius was waiting, sent his guys. Peter was talked to, and verse 23, and then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. This is when, in Acts 10:34-48, Peter became the answer to Cornelius' prayer. It says in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree, how God raised him up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Now, what's the definition of the gospel? Christ died for our sins and was buried, and he rose again the third day. Did he not just use that here? Same gospel we use when we share. He just gave the gospel. And then he says, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Isn't that the gospel? He didn't hold back. He didn't say part of the gospel. He gave them the whole gospel. And they were missing something. They were good people, but they didn't know the truth. But bam! And not the kids group. God showed up. And when God showed up, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. How many of you guys are Jewish background, Jewish descent? Anybody? You know, this is a huge day for us. This is when the gospel came to the Gentiles, which is us. Anybody that's not Jew is a Gentile. This is a great day of celebration. Somebody became the answer to Cornelius' prayer, which later becomes the answer to our prayer. If you want God to send someone to reach your family members or friends, you become the answer to somebody else's prayer. Just right before the war started with Ukraine and Russia, I was in Russia training. While I was there, I was teaching on the Christian life, and a guy comes up, his name's Igor, comes up after the teaching, and he says, look, I've been playing church for 10 years. But what you've said is true, and I want to receive Christ. I led him to the Lord. His wife come down and hugged me. She says, for 10 years I've prayed for him to come to Jesus. Do you know what I just became? The answer to her prayer. That's what we do at OTAN. We are trying to answer the prayers of the people in different countries around the world. Somebody come over here and teach us, like the Macedonian call. And that is what is basing our life and our movement. We want to be the answer to somebody else's prayer. But you know what? Right here in town, there's people that are praying for their loved ones, and they need somebody to be the answer to their prayers. Maybe you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone. Maybe you're going to have to do something different. Maybe you're going to have to swallow your pride or your prejudice and let things go and let God use you. But you know what? He wants to. He's trying to prepare you to be a tool in his hand so that he can accomplish his will. And in doing so, I'll give you the Paul Harvey. Took 12 years. But before I left to go to Russia, my brothers met this biker guy. he came up to them and said, "Hey, can I go on a ride with you guys?" They said, "Sure." They're getting ready to do one of those raise money rides. He said, "Sure." And they ride together, and they have a good time. They're at dinner time after the ride's over, and they're all sitting around. And they're all swapping stories, and finally, my brother, either Bill or Frank, says, "What do you do?" He says, "I'm your mom's pastor. Your mom sent me to come and talk to you guys." From that day, their hearts were open to hear the truth. And not long after that, they got saved. And you know, the brother that kicked me out of his house, they asked me to come and baptize him. Be the answer to somebody else's prayer, so God can use others to be the answer to yours. It doesn't have to be you. I had to come to that conclusion. It doesn't have to be me. But boy, God, I'm so thankful it was somebody. That pastor, you know, he shocked them. Pastors aren't supposed to ride motorcycles. Pastors aren't supposed to be able to do stuff like that. We just stay in our office, study, and, you know, we just do really good things all the time and never do anything exciting. Yeah. They didn't meet many pastors. They always thought I was a weird one anyways. God can use your gifting, your personality, who you are, to reach others around you, because that's why you're gifted that way. Your pastor cannot reach everybody in town. I found out that my personality sometimes rubbed people wrong. They didn't like my personality. I couldn't believe it. You know, I'm such a personable person. But I realized I couldn't win everybody. But I had enough people in my church that personality could be met with another personality in my church that could win that person the Lord. If we would all just start thinking about being the answer to somebody else's prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I pray even now that if there's somebody here that needs the gospel, today would be their salvation. And they will be, by their salvation, answer the prayers of others. And God, we ask that you would work.